Thanks to Keeps for supporting FilmSack. Keeps makes easy and affordable hair loss treatment for men. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/filmsack.
Tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary since Valet Air Flight 180 exploded and crashed shortly after takeoff from JFK Airport. But it was the events after the crash that has turned this tragic story into something even stranger. The survivors who managed to get off the plane before it crashed died soon thereafter in a series of mysterious and bizarre accidents.
These people are the luckiest sons of bitches on the planet.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 465. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian. He always takes off his shirt to cook fish sticks Dunaway.
Ooh, the grease is so hot. Oh, hi.
Hi.
You have reached the office of death. We cannot come to the phone right now as we are busy making an asinine list and planning elaborate ways to murder you. But by all means, please listen to the following as our menu options have changed. If you would like to report a gross injustice of death, please press 9. If you are calling to negotiate the terms of your murder or your surrender, press 8 and your call will be taken in the order as received. Average wait time, 300 years. If you're calling about the elevator to hell, press 6. Another 6.
Yeah.
And just once more.
Okay. Got it.
You've chosen elevator to hell. If you meant to select stairway to heaven, please hang up and call back when you are a better person. Still there? Okay. If you're calling to report any of the following on the elevator to hell, a faulty door that could decapitate a person, or a guy with a box of hooks for arms, or an inappropriate offer to lick your face, please stay on the line for an important message. It's the elevator to hell. That's it. That's the message. It's the elevator to hell. What'd you expect? Please hang up. Also, don't do drugs on the highway to hell.
That's a good idea. You'll end up like the lead singer of...
If you want to know why that pause after that first 6 was so long, I'm sure you're asking yourself that, because I had my phone ready, but it was not ready. And it did not make the boop noise that I was expecting.
Oh, I like that. I thought it was just a well-placed pause. So.
Yeah, so it worked out either way to my favor.
It worked in your favor, dude. Don't worry about
it. As you know, it's the thought that counts.
It is the thought that counts. All right. Next up, with that voice, we will now tell you that, Randy, nothing makes you work out more in a complete way than a hard jog and a pack of cigarettes, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy. And thank you all for coming out on this fine Saturday morning at the Northern Omaha Airport Quality Inn and Conference Center. And thank you for paying $1,500 each to learn my patented future-telling secret method. Everyone in this room is going to become an expert when it comes to predicting the future. And all you have to do is follow my 3 easy steps. Number 1, don't pay attention to anything. And I mean anything. Treat terrible dangers swinging down to kill you like they're invisible and they make no noise. Number 2, never move away from danger like a normal person. When the time comes that you've just narrowly escaped a microwave making lightning while your hand is stuck in a carburetor while your fish sticks burn your house down and you've made it outside safely, completely stop trying to get away. That's what other people would do.
Right.
Number 3.
Just take a nap.
Yeah.
Number 3. Don't believe. Don't have any sort of faith in anything. You're gonna be fine. Now go tend to that barbecue. Billy, I'm hungry.
Oh yeah, Billy, get over there. Glad that thing was 900 feet away. That was good.
His name was Brian. His name was Brian.
Of course,
no,
Brian.
No, exactly. Only the Bryans knew that little tidbit.
Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, I've never heard garburetor before, but that's hilarious. We call it a disposal.
Yeah.
I like
garburetor. Yeah, garburetor. I'm going to start calling ours that. How's the old garburetor doing? Put some fish in there. All right. With us finally, Brian, never trust a fish tank ever. Ibit.
No, never. Okay, writers, I hope you guys had a good weekend, but now it's time to get back to work. We've got a few elaborate deaths to plan for Final Destination 2. No bad ideas. Let's hear what you got. Oh, and welcome the new guy, Chad. Okay, first death is going to be Evan, the vain punk new lottery winner. Chad, what have you got? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking for something more than trips and falls on his knife, but you're new, so we'll catch you some slack. Let's see what Keith has. Keith's always got something good. Okay, new watch. I like it. Arm stuck in the garbage disposal. Garburetor. Magnet and microwave. Good. Fire escape. Okay, slips on spaghetti. Ladder through the eye. Great work, Keith. Draft that all up and have it on my desk this afternoon. Okay, next death is going to be Bratty Kid Tim. Chad, you want to try take a stab at this one? Mm-hmm. No, I think we're looking for something more than just bitten by a rabid squirrel. Did you even watch the first movie like we asked you to? All right. Carol, can you help us out here? Uh-huh. Nitrous oxide. Good. Pigeons hitting the window. I like where this is going. Construction. Pane of glass. Splatter. Oh, chef's kiss. Mwah. Well done, Carol. That's how it's done, folks. All right. Now we need to somehow kill off the main character from the first movie since Devin didn't want to renew his contract to appear in this one. Chad, do you want to take one more shot at this? A brick falls on his head. How did you even get this job anyway? Oh, your dad is head of the studio? Okay, going with the brick thing. Hey, let's break for lunch.
What a sad, dumb way to throw him. It's like the Aliens 3 of this movie. It's like, just have somebody...
Best off-screen death.
Yeah.
Death in the opening credits, yeah.
I guess he was, trivia-wise, he was supposed to be in this, and they canned him last second because they couldn't work out a contract that worked for everybody, so... That was how that went.
Worked out better because I prefer the other way.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I like that Allie Larder was back. She had an interesting turn there. The movie is Final Destination 2. You may be going, what? Because you remember we watched one not so long ago. And we did do that. And we said at that time that we were having so much fun, we might just continue through these in a sort of spread out way. Well, we got to 2. And happy to report, at least from my perspective, I think 2 is the superior film to 1.
Yes.
Mostly because the deaths are grisly and awesome. That's how these need to be. They need to be just ridiculous and
elaborate,
over the top.
Yep. Over the top, yeah.
This movie understood that way more than the first movie did. I can't speak to the others because I haven't seen them. I know Dunaway has, though.
Yes. I will say that Final Destination 2 was my favorite. It's kind of like Friday the 13th 2, when you really start getting into, you're like, oh, this is where they came up with most of the tropes that you enjoy from the Final Destination series. Most of it seems to be here.
This
one didn't do as well at the theater.
It did not unfortunately, because I mean this would have been the fun one to see in theaters, because you're just the effects are well done, ridiculous, out of control, but also pretty gross.
But it's a straight up remake. Like, it is shocking how this movie treads absolutely no new territory whatsoever. Like, it's as though they took all the words off the script from the first movie and just replaced them with synonyms from a thesaurus.
You're not wrong, but also wouldn't you argue that, I mean, they're probably all do this,
the only
right?
way to do that.
Yeah, what
I
are
mean, the only way to make a sequel of this movie
yeah,
is to
what else are you going to do?
What got the open, first time?
You got you open with the premonition, and then you basically have to systematically and elaborately kill every character in the film.
Yeah, and
right.
And to Randy's point, the dialogue is pretty bad. It's not good acting. Like, all the talkie bits are
talkie bits. The parts where they're saying things.
Yeah, the parts where they're saying things in this movie, not great. It's not great. But the when you get to the lead ups of the deaths, and you're like, all right, where does this Rube Goldberg device start? Where does it end? Ooh, he avoided the thing I thought it was going to get him, but the ladder got him in the eye. Like, it's a fun trip, I thought.
And that was kind of the MO, that it was always going to be somehow they cause their own. Well, you think after the first couple, you think, all right, they're somehow all going to cause their own deaths.
Yeah.
They're all going to be this elaborate thing that just pans out to nothing, and then something innocuous is going to kill them afterwards, like the ladder after he finally escapes and you think he's free. Oh, slip. Oh, ladder. Oh, right. It stopped just in time. Oh, no, it did finally impale him.
Yeah.
And the same with the kid. Like, all this stuff happens in the dentist's office. Then he gets out and it's like chasing the pigeons, doing his own, the master of his own undoing.
Yes.
And shoot him.
Evan is like that first guy, Evan, the lottery winner.
Yeah.
He is absolutely you're like, how are you not dead already? You're like, death doesn't need to assist you.
Right, yes.
Yeah. That guy, he lives in a hallway full of children's toys. But anyway, yes, Randy.
It's right. Just like they looked at the first movie and they're like, all right, so in our first big death, we let the person escape death twice, and then the third round got him. So this time, we're going to have this guy escape death three times, and the fourth round will get him. It's like, I don't know. It just felt to me like this movie squandered so many opportunities to just change the way things work and make it therefore more interesting.
Don't worry, they do that later, and then you start feeling like, oh, they're taking it too serious.
And later movies,
yeah, you're like, I really y'all go back to the. It's kind of like when I don't know, when they start over explaining stuff. You're like, no, don't, because we're already on a razor's edge here with how much I'll believe.
Believability, yeah.
Okay, so this is the second consecutive film sack that I've referenced Tropic Thunder, but the Tropic Thunder at the beginning has a series of fake trailers, and one of them is for a series of Ben Stiller movies called Scorcher, and Scorcher 2, and Scorcher 3, and Scorcher 4, and it's just the same movie over and over. Mm. And in the middle of the run, it changes, and then it goes back to the way it was. And it's just like the perfect takedown of this kind of Final Destination stuff.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure the Scorcher fake trailers were made after Final Destination 2, maybe 3.
I'm sure they were.
It's possible.
Final Destination is not the only series to do this. This harkens back to all the way back to the first time I ever really saw it and said, interesting, the first movie was a standalone classic, but then in part two, they set up this whole formula that kind of refined from the first one, and now I can move forward no matter how stupid it is, but I don't mind going back and visiting every week.
It's horror movies are a lot more like, you know,
oh yeah, they absolutely do it.
Freddy and Jason and so on, they do a lot of the same stuff, but it's really boring, you know, like it stops scaring you.
Maybe for you.
Yeah, see, maybe that, for you. Well, see, that's important about this movie. This movie is not scary. There's nothing about it that's scary.
If you're looking for scary, this is not the place to be.
If you're looking
for laughs, pretty much, and just, you know, some...
I'm looking for creativity. I'm looking for, like, how creatively are they going to kill the stoner guy? And I cannot wait for him to go. And when will that be? And how are they going to do it? And then I see... Oh my gosh, they MacGuffined it and said it was almost the cop with the falling tree, but no, it was actually the thing with the gas in the truck, and then the truck exploded, and then somehow a section of barbed wire fence is going to do it. Like, an amazing, I loved that, because I'm not there to be scared or freaked. I'm there to go, that's it. Well done.
It's almost like a game, right? Where you're trying to predict what is the thing that is eventually going to kill them.
Yeah.
It's like we're going to give you all of these elements, and we're even going to set up, you're going to see him throw the spaghetti out the window, and you're going to see it land on the ground, and they wouldn't show it to you unless that was going to be used later. Like, having it land in a dumpster wouldn't matter, but having it land on the ground, it's like, okay, somehow that's coming into play.
And and the magnets on the refrigerator, you know, the H falls off, and then it says I. I'm like, well, he's going to die by the I. Okay.
It's funny. You know what's hilarious is when I saw that fall in there and I saw the word I on the fridge, I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to come up. And then I completely forgot about it until you just said that. It's like, oh, of course it was setting that up. Damn it.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying that close attention, but I'll guarantee you that the woman who almost gets impaled by a spike through the back of her car headrest then does get impaled by it a few minutes later, because that's how this movie works. Whatever almost kills you will get a second chance.
Right.
I'll bet you that if you go back a few minutes, something some shot
a tip
references the airbag. I'll bet you
absolutely
a shot, a quick shot of like the steering column or something.
And that's the part where it kind of goes, you know, it kind of breaks that wall and says, oh, you're going to kind of see signs and premonitions. We're going to have the characters see some, but we're also going to be putting things out there and kind of sprinkling them through the movies. And is it done, you know, to a genius level? No, not even close. But is it fun? Yeah, kind of like one of those brain puzzle magazines you pick up. It's like, oh, I'm having fun. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Solve that puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. <That's fun>. Yeah. I don't know if you're actually saying that to yourself, but yeah. I get
you. I do.
Ooh, look at this. I'm having fun. I'm picking this up. I'm having some fun.
He's candy. He's candy. He's candy.
All right. So directed by David R. Ellis. He's sadly passed away. He's got like a kind of a grisly, well, not grisly, but a sad death. He on January 7th, 2013, this is many years later, I guess 10 years later, his body was found in the bathroom of his hotel room in Johannesburg, South Africa. He was preparing to direct the movie Kite at the time. Mm. No cause of death had ever been released. However, police say no play was suspected. But yeah, I know. That's what I mean. It's like hey, the two-time director of these movies, he did the 2009 one as well, dies in a way that's mysterious and in a hotel room.
Exactly.
That's awful. That made me just go, oh, okay. Anyway, that guy's really interesting, though. He's a stunt coordinator, a stuntman guy. Started out as a child actor, did a bunch of directing. I kind of went down a hole with him.
But, if I was his family, I would say change all references to his death to died of natural causes.
Just right, right.
Let's.
This grave is his.
So no one will talk about it ever again.
His grave is his final destination, is what I should say.
Oh, that'd be great. I'll say this is one thing that a part two can only deliver. And that's when you have a returning character from the first one, the sole survivor. We didn't know at the time at the end of the last one, but the sole survivor in this one, having the character Clara Rivers come back.
And she's better in this, by the way. Better actor than she was in the first one.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. She was getting ready for Heroes. That was just around the corner here.
That's right. Yeah.
A couple of years from this. And she was way better. Oh, my gosh. She was just weird in the first one. Yeah. Also, she's blonde. She's blonde now. And in the first movie, she was all dark-haired.
Yeah, no, she's all broody and kind of the, you know.
Yeah.
And this one, she was kind of like, ah, I'm just hanging
is
out.
It, is it kind of the Heather Langenkamp getting the gray streak in her hair sometime between Nightmare on Elm Street 1 and Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
Yeah. You get scared enough, you get a gray streak. That's how it works.
Right. If you go really, you get really scared, then you go blonde.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out her lifestyle, though. Like, you're in a padded room. The only wall of anything he got are a bunch of pictures from the people who died from the last time this all happened.
With red yarn. Tiny TV.
Yeah, a little bitty TV.
But also three pieces of yarn. Like, what kind of conspiracy theorist only has three pieces of yarn connecting things?
Well,
and really, what needs to be connected? Like, you figured out the first movie.
Well, I think the reason why it's a small TV, it was small enough to see, but not large enough to kill her.
Mm. Right, you don't want to... Yeah, all you need really for her is just like IKEA furniture that is not bolted to the wall so that it could fall on you at any time.
Right.
Because they always provide that bolt and that bracket
pretty much
so that your
time.
Furniture does not fall on you.
Mm-hmm. That's the point in the movie where I forget that death is precocious. And I'm like, okay, so why not just have an earthquake? Death causes an earthquake that collapses the building and she's dead.
Yes, like, yes. This is a problem.
And I'm like... I spend that whole time coming up with ways that death could easily get her in that padded room.
Because death doesn't take anybody additional.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you really? Avoid death, death has to just get you and not no collateral damage with people around you.
Like I say, super precocious. Like death has this death has these idiosyncrasies that are just are hard to remember. So you have to turn your brain off and go with it.
Yeah, it seems like also she's got a vent in there that brings her air. Some shit could have happened in the room where the air vent is. Like all the stuff that they do across the board to all the other people that die, there still is ways to get to her. You're not perfectly safe.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So they you got to kind of park your brain at the door there. But I like that the screen is only there really to have the other girl flip her off as she leaves. I think that was pretty great. I enjoyed that. That made it into my gift collection.
So. I was going to ask you if it was a gift because you like those.
I wanted a bird gift.
I wanted to ask all of you, does death have a moral compass in this movie? Like that's the thing about horror movies that you have to tell moral stories or they don't make sense, right?
I mean, in this case, no, I don't think, right? Like, it's, you're asking if death has the moral compass? Like,
right, because well, in
I think in the fact moral, that new life stops it is its moral compass.
In horror, in any movie, we see pain, suffering, and death as judgments on people, right? And people have moral vectors. And so, especially in horror movies, because they have a lot of pain and suffering and death, we are constantly, you know, contemplating, is this, you know, this person really deserved it? That person doesn't deserve to die, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And this movie kind of ignores all of that. And that's interesting, you know. Again, it's exactly the same as the first, but it's just it's just something that caught my attention over and over.
Yeah, because the first movie didn't have that aspect, did it? Well, it's because they didn't ask the right questions of Candyman. He would have told him, right?
Exactly. Anybody else feel like when he said that new life stops the chain, that it was just going to be, all right, well, let's start boning and maybe get somebody pregnant, and that was going to be the switch.
Just the cop and the girl
and Kimberly.
Yeah, that would have been something. Actually, he feels like a bit of a chick in the bucket because he was never his number never really came up, but
the cop.
Other than dodging. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, let me start over. That movie's intro is really great. The initial accident is really awesome. Yeah. It has got amazing sound work. If I watched this with headphones on. It's got incredible sound work. The actual accident itself, those logs, everything about that whole
which
intro sequence.
Which apparently were CGI because real logs didn't bounce the way they wanted to. So for CGI, those logs looked amazing.
I couldn't even tell. That's how good they were. Yeah. In 2003, that's pretty impressive.
Did you notice some of the extra stuff? Like the, you know, like there were car flippers out on the road and there were all kinds of shots where you could see.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The infrastructure that was being used.
Like you could see a bunch of that stuff, but it didn't stand out to me enough to take away from it. Like it was so choreographed and so, I mean, it was damned impressive. I remember coming out of that going, this is new level. Like this is an intense movie and they've really killed it here at this beginning. And then regular there you go. And then they had regular dialogue, and I went, oh, okay, well, it's just still shitty dialogue and bad actors.
I was so annoyed by the teenagers or whatever, college students in the car, all with their tropes and their I've got a bag of weed trope, and you can tell these other people are straight and aren't interested in the weed, and there's a cop just right now.
Yep. Oh, there's a cop, and those guys in the back were the ones. I could not figure out why that cute blonde she's driving with is like, hurry up, I'm horny, let's get the boys. I'm like, those are the boys that you got the horny for those boys? Come on. Those guys are dweebs, dude. Those guys are lamos.
Yeah, at the very, very beginning, you forget that these people are probably all going to die.
Yeah. So, and they do.
Well, you think... Yeah, I thought that. I honestly thought, just based on the first movie, they were, even those guys were going to escape death, and they're going to be picking those guys off one at a time. No, they that was a nice surprising change. Is that, all right? We're wiping out the three people you're with. Let's not even worry about developing those characters, Pothead, Jimmy Joe, and Blondie.
Yeah,
we're just going to wipe them out before you even get a chance to know what or who they are.
Yeah. Which was actually kind of cool because you know how this goes because you saw the first one. So you're instantly going, oh, every person that gets out of their car on this ramp is going to be a person later in the movie, like a person I'm interested in seeing whether they live or die.
Yeah.
And so like Justina Machado from One Day at a Time gets out of her car and she's pregnant and you're like, oh, wow, she's in the movie. That's kind of a fun moment.
Yeah.
Tina and I had to look. We're like, we know her from something else besides, we've never seen One Day at a Time, but we like, what do we know her from? Was 6 feet Under. She was the wife of Rico Diaz, the embalmer, and she becomes a fairly major character in 6 feet Under. So
interesting.
We thought, was she on Orange is the New Black? We don't want to make any sort of stereotypes, but was she on Orange is the New Black?
Yeah. It's she looked familiar to me. The girl that smoked a lot looked really familiar to me. What's her name? Not Lydia Boyd. What's her name? Maybe
the girl that smoked a lot. The short haired
Keegan-Connor Tracy is her name, yeah. And I still don't know what I know her from.
She looks almost a dead ringer, but is almost like a lookalike for Jen Mayu in our Tadpole.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
She got it pretty bad with, actually, they played a perspective trick on us with her death because the pipe that was in the car, she was next to it, not in front of
it. Yes.
And so when that thing blew up, she would have had to have, I know she bent over, but she had bent over far from it. That thing would have had to push her up and then over 6.5 to 8 inches and then back into the pipe.
Lift her up a little bit even. Yeah.
That was cool death, but you blew it on the setup on that part.
But by that point, you're kind of no longer able to catch all the things. Mm-hmm. Like by that point in the movie, they're setting you up to fail to realize what's going on. Mm. It's like shot, shot, shot. Here's some leaking gas. Here's a pipe. Here's a fence. Here's a tree that might fall over. You know what I mean? Like it gets to be too much.
Yeah.
Well, it's the whole thing. You get kind of a taste of that with Ali Larter looking around the gas station and seeing, all right, there's the guy working on the utility pole with sparks flying up. There's the dogs coming. There's this happening. There's
that
happening.
What was that about?
That's the final destination of the bucket was what that was about.
Sure, but in the moment, I was kind of mad at the movie because I felt like the movie was like flexing on me for no reason, you know?
Yeah.
And like I they just leave and nothing actually happens. Like
you go
through a lot of trouble to get me to set see up. Dangers.
Yeah.
And then none, actually, everybody's just casual.
Yeah. Okay. It's like no big deal. They did that a lot, actually, with the kind of casual reaction to death thing was most prominent after what's his name got shredded by the fence or by the flying barbed wire. And they were all just okay, well, Sneaker I guess McGee. We still got to get to that pregnant girl even more now. Like, no, you're all dying. It's still, these are still deaths. I mean, I know you're worried about the baby. And I guess they knew, you know, the baby was the new birth and all that. But still, like, people are just getting... somebody just got a pipe through the head. This guy just got cut into four pieces. Right. Who else? Somebody else died.
Anybody else besides me immediately think of World of Warcraft when you kill a tree?
a treant? Yes, that was a treant death. I am absolutely certain that the treant death animation precedes this movie. But I can't prove it because they really do kind of
Because 03 WoW was in deep development, probably in alpha by then, so maybe but yeah, look, like I didn't think about that until you just said it. That's really funny. Just slow like kind of looking around. Oh no, I'm in three pieces, falling apart thing. That was pretty rough. Also, that would never happen. A thing like that coming at that speed wouldn't just slice you. They're not razor wire. They're not lasers. It would have just wrapped or it may have killed you still.
It would have knocked you over.
The skin without knocking you over, but as soon as it hit bone, it would have pulled you down.
Yeah, you would have been pulled
like a
down.
Bolo, right? Where it would kind of like just
and you would just have fallen to the ground and probably bled out because it would have been awful. But you don't just get sliced.
I don't know.
Up.
I was just out there sharpening the razor wire on my fence. I go out there with a sharpening tool and
It reminds me. This ought to be a trope. I don't know what you call it, but I'll play this. So it's not the first time we've seen something like this. I think people are obsessed with this. In the movie, we haven't watched it yet, but we're going to watch. Oh, yeah, Ghost Ship had one of these too, didn't it?
Yeah, Ghost Ship.
But we're about to watch Underworld, and Underworld has a great scene where Bill Nye gets, not the science guy, that Bill Nye, the actor, gets sliced in the same way where it's like slice, then you wait a second, he has a look on his face, and then a big part of him just sloughs off. We saw this in... the girl getting sliced apart in Piranha 3D. We saw maybe my favorite one is that first Resident Evil movie where they go into that laser room and it makes everybody into cubes basically if they get caught in the laser grid. And so the laser grid comes like through them and then they're standing there for a second and then all of a sudden they just fall apart in cubes. Like, I don't know why there's an obsession with that, but horror movies love it, man. They love that whole pause and then fall apart. Kind of
one point
kill.
Years and years ago, I saw some program where he was called Bill Nike. Yeah, I know, but I was just like, there was another consonant sound in the name, and I've always wanted to recapture that. But this
I could see Nike. like Nighy.
Bill Nighy. You know?
This movie has an actor who is a perfect combination of Bill Nighy and Christopher Lloyd doing some creepy hair sniffing. Mm-hmm. And it's played by an actor named John R. Taylor. And I'm like, I'm going to go see this guy. He looks nothing like what I just described. I don't know how they did this in this movie.
Really?
This movie makes him look like I say, like Christopher Lloyd is hanging out, or Ian McKellen maybe a little bit in that character. But no, he's a normal looking guy. He doesn't look creepy at all, IRL.
Oh, okay. So I found a quote. Listen to this. In an interview with some website back in the day. This is back in 2006 while they were Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and that Dead Man's Chest sequel to Pirates of the Caribbean were coming out. In an interview, he said about his name, my father used to squirm on the sofa when everybody would say Nye. It used to drive him insane. I gave up. I get Nye, I get Nigel-y, I get, I don't want to say that one. he says sometimes people call him Nigby, which is weird.
Really?
It says the first time ever in the newspaper, I was Nigby. I'm not sure everybody gets the name. I don't mind. You can call me anything you want. So he doesn't actually even give an answer. He's just like, whatever you want to say, I don't care.
I like to think that he's as close to his character in Love Actually, more than any other character he's ever played. That's who I want him to be, is the former rock and roller in Love Actually.
Yeah, that kind of like an aging out, like, I don't know what to compare him to at rocker wise. He's like,
yeah, like an old Mick.
yeah, Mick Jagger. He's like Mick Jagger, a little bit of oh my gosh, who am I thinking of? I don't know. There's aging British rocker is a great trope to play around with, and he made a really good one in that movie. That movie's great. Here's a great picture of him, by the way.
I wish there were more aging American rocker tropes.
Nice. Sorry, go ahead, Randy. We were just looking at this photo.
Like as you're saying aging British rocker, I'm like, I would really like for there to have been like a reality documentary or something that just followed Sammy Hagar around in his 60s. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't know why there isn't more of that.
And then I could pretend like it was Final Destination 7 and keep waiting for him to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could.
I never needed this much Vince Neil. You know,
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there are other rockers that are actually probably interesting and live a colorful life in their, you know, elderly years.
Oh my gosh, we have another. I just realized. Sorry, this is breaking news here at the FilmSack Central. The girl who we were talking about, what's her name? Keegan Connor Tracy, who smoked a lot and got the pipe through the head. She was our second Battlestar Galactica connection here, because the first one was
she looked familiar.
Chief Tyrell.
Chief Tyrell, that's however it. You say it. He was in there as that cop, and then this lady played somebody named Jean, and she was in like 9 episodes. I don't remember the character at all, but there you go. More BSG connection. She was also on Stargate SG-1 once. She's been in some.
I'd be surprised if she wasn't a Cylon in
me too.
In real life.
Yeah.
In actual real life.
She's very attractive, but she does have a very kind of otherworldly look to her.
Yeah, she does.
I will never understand what was going on between Constable Tyrell and Justina Machado's character. I have no idea. I don't understand
just
it.
Pregnant lady having a baby in a prison or a jail.
Why was she in jail?
He was a surrogate husband. Why was she in jail? Because they were trying to keep her there, keep her safe.
Yeah.
Because of that photo on her her delivery license.
Yeah, do you remember that was bad?
No. Citizen's erased.
All right, we're gonna take your picture now for your delivery license. What's that behind me? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Move on.
Yeah. You know what? Randy's right. We're going to give it the award this week for this.
Grab a bucket.
All right. That's the chick in the bucket, because they never really set that up. You're right. She's just in jail and
goes to have a baby, and that's it. That's it. We're done.
That's because she wasn't part of the story. She was a red herring, because we saw her until I was like, oh, she's not really part of the story. She was,
In the big crash in the beginning, the premonition, she was killed in it.
Right.
So was...
she had the baby, and her and Constable Barney Fife got to...
Well, no, I thought the whole thing was that she wasn't supposed to be killed in the
She's not. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why she was dismissed. Goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, wait then.
Yeah, she doesn't die in the original, in the opening
thing. In any. Yeah, she doesn't
die.
Well,
then why would her new birth have anything to do with anything then?
Oh, my. That's the whole. That was
did
the
you
twist.
Watch the film?
I did. I did.
That was the twist.
No, no, no. Scott, no, I understand that.
I can't really explain what was going on around that,
because it stopped killing the main characters. Our two lovebird cop and Kimberly people, they didn't die as a result, so that thing ended it. Also the
no
the black biker dude,
her dying in the ambulance or in the van underwater and then coming back was the new life that stopped the chain of events.
We thought the pregnant lady was, but then she had a vision at the very end, so it's kind of a cheat vision.
Okay,
it's kind of like, oh, I saw the vision
right
incorrectly.
It was the red vision herring,
right. Okay, vision, no, herring, you're right, all right, fish. Which makes no sense because she didn't, it's not new life, she just got resuscitated.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this. It wasn't strong.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Oh yeah, it was dumb.
Yeah, yeah, it was dumb.
But it was just a different kind of dumb than you remember.
Yeah, you're totally right. Okay, now it makes sense to me. And the kid at the end dies because he was. In fact, I remember seeing it when he got pushed out of the way. I went, "Oh, that's going to come back to bite us in the butt." Yeah, that's not going to go well.
We just set that up for part three. Matter of fact, I thought he was going to be in part three. I was like, "Oh, we'll see him next episode." But it's like, nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead and wrap that up right now.
Also, is he using?
So does that mean any near death experience now is going to cause this, you know, chain of events?
I didn't like that, because the only reason why the kid was out there to get ran over by the news van was because those people were there. But if they had died in the original timeline, then he would have never gotten killed, the kid. So I'm like, you can't kill him.
Yeah, see, they're fast and loose with these rules, and it's to me it's starting to be like time a haunted house. You
and
can't do it.
Here's the thing. So just last week I stopped and I was like, all right, if you haven't seen this movie, you got to watch it before you listen to this podcast, or just not going to really work. And this week I am so totally the opposite. I would like someone who only knows Final Destination 4 or something to listen to this podcast and imagine we're talking about that.
Does everything apply? Probably does. Yeah.
I like the world where you think someone has seen Final Destination 4 and that's it, and also listens to this podcast.
I'm just saying, like, you just don't need to see this movie to enjoy talking
about
it. You
don't need to see any movie, but I would watch
this movie. I would recommend this one because the deaths are so much fun. If you're a horror fan and you just like the ridiculousness of it and want to throw rice at a screen, I don't know why I said that, but you know what I mean? Just like,
congratulations!
Yeah. You can watch Rocky Horror and Final Destination 2.
Yeah, that's where that's basically my thinking.
Bouncing baby movie.
But do that, because it's fun in that way. It's not, this is never going to be like, you know, a horror classic. You're not going
to
look back
on
this.
You'll never need to watch Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Team. But
what was that called? That wasn't
Dream
Team.
What was Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors. Yeah,
no, Dream Team. It was Dream Warriors, but it'll always be Dream Team to me, because they got together a good team there.
There you go. I don't know. I kind of now still want to keep going. Like, if we get to a three, I'd be okay with it. You know, like we do with this one, not right away. You got to let your palate cleanse a little.
Yeah, right.
And then
just long enough that you remember what happens in the previous one, but far enough that you get a little time away.
And you know, actually, it's weird because most films are not filmed sequentially. They're not made that way, but it felt like the first 15 minutes or so of this movie with the character setup was really good, and then it kind of just fell apart really quickly. Almost as soon as Ali Larter's character comes on screen, it falls apart pretty quick. Before then, it's like they were taking great care, like all the way to the where they're having all the characters watch the news at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Evan, what is his name?
Evan.
I thought I'd call him Evan. Anyway.
Lottery winner Evan. Yeah.
Right. Lottery winner. They made him a lottery winner so that he would be newsworthy when he died, so they could have everybody on the couches see that and understand he was dead, because they didn't have any connectivity to each other than that. And I was like, wow, that was actually pretty good problem solving.
I was wondering, you know, that you bring it up, a good point. I didn't know why the lottery thing, because it did seem like a setup for just to have him have a nice watch and a ring,
right,
that he goes after. But you're right, that is the way that they make that character continue the story for everybody else is by having him newsworthy because he's a lottery winner.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. It was good. And then after that, I was like, I don't know, just threw everything out.
Yep. And they're like, nope, like, we're done. We've given you the only plausible sort of plot point.
I'd like to see a supercut of every horror movie that starts off with a responsible teenager in the driving in the parking lot of their house, or their driveway of their house, mm-hmm. with their parents telling them to be safe.
Yep.
Because that's how so many horror movies start.
Yep, tropey as hell. And then, you know, the fact that he sees transmission fluid on the thing is like, premonition.
And it took him like 30 minutes to call her because she went and picked up her friends and everything else.
Yep.
And like,
yep.
And this wasn't on the phone immediately about.
It's like, '03, we had cell phones, but people weren't, you know, glued to them the way we are now. And I don't know, maybe you can forgive some of that stuff. But yeah, a concerned single parent in the driveway, you know, has experienced some horrible loss of his spouse. He's just, well, I have to send her on. She's growing up. I got to do it, even though our friend sounds like a freaking whore bag. Let's go ahead and just send him out here. And let's send him in the biggest vehicle man makes. You know, let's send him in a freaking Suburban that I wouldn't trust. I've had a Suburban. They're
right.
Don't trust Suburbans, guys.
And leaking fluid like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Oh, that was blood. No, that was
blood. That's what I thought at first too. I was like, oh, blood, and I was like, no, that must be transmission fluid.
Transmission fluid is red or pink. Yeah, you're right, but it's more. I could see that being transmission fluid because literally,
she's like, was that blood? Like, well, I think that somebody would know if they were bleeding. It has to be like brake fluid, transmission fluid, something like that.
Yeah,
and so then I start going, well, the first part was written so well. Maybe that was intentional. Maybe he's seeing signs. Maybe he's seeing the hook man.
Written so well.
It was really good at the beginning. I was, like I said, if you go back and really watch the first 15 minutes or so, setting up the characters and getting to where we needed to be in that first little bit and bringing all those characters together, it was
they couldn't good. Hold you're right though, but they just couldn't hang on to that.
The ride got too fast. They started
that was it.
Brian, you brought up a really interesting topic to me as a fan of the art. I'm so interested in every film, like filmmakers, like the director and producers, decision making in what order they're going to shoot the film.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like there is a really deep art because you have to make a project plan. There's like a project management aspect to it, and it has to fit with an artistic plan, and those can often be in huge disagreement and disarray, right. And there's these competing concerns, right, around how are we gonna get the actors into their characters as fast as possible, you know what I'm saying, and keep the characters consistent throughout the movie, like so the actor, you know if the actor needs to cut their hair, right, you got to get all the shots of them mm-hmm. with long hair first, yeah. And so on and so on, and like it's just so freaking interesting. And the reason it's so interesting is because you almost never notice it. You almost never watch a movie and go, oh, wow, this scene in the middle must have been the very first thing they ever shot. Like, it felt like the actors were just getting to know each other. But that's exactly what they try to plan for and plan around.
Yeah.
This movie, I really did actually feel that. I felt like the first sequences, like the first two or three scenes, were some of the last things they did.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it felt very well developed.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Let me do you guys have a guess as to what grossed me out? It's none of the deaths.
Oh my God.
None of the deaths.
Licking your fingers in the elevator about to wipe them on the corner of somebody's mouth.
Okay, that one's really foul. And that's my number one. I had three. Number two was up close mouth work at the dentist. Don't like that.
No. Oh yeah, that was so fun.
Yeah, not did not enjoy. Also, by the way, did not let that stuff go in there long enough to deaden his mouth. It doesn't work that way. You can't put it in and 6 seconds later start drilling. It doesn't work.
But that's why he gave him the gas, right?
That doesn't do it. It doesn't fix the pain. I've had this.
Oh, it doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix the pain, but it keeps you from caring about the pain.
I don't think I've had the gas and had the pain, and the gas did not.
I've had the gas pain.
I've had the pain, and it didn't mask the pain. All right, so that's just one thing. And then the third thing, which really grossed me out, is yanking a nipple ring out of a corpse.
Oh. Yes. Oh God, I was squirming.
Oh,
I was
squirming.
Yeah, was really I don't hard. Know if that was a if that was when they were showing the close-up of him kind of yanking on it, if that was prosthetic or if that was somebody's real nipple ring, because he yanks it off screen or it happens out of frame.
Right.
So it makes me think that if they did use a prosthetic, they would have showed him yanking the ring out of there. Yeah. But I think that might have been just a close-up of a real
I think it was a dude's nipple ring. I haven't
scored that much since I've seen the Frank above the beans. The beans above the Frank. Yeah.
By the way, I think that's his nipple ring because he had it when he had his shirt off making fish sticks. I'm pretty sure what they did is close up to that.
The actor is,
and then who
pan fries with oil and grease without a shirt on? That is like...
What the hell was he even doing? That was
that
so
would
weird.
Hurt so bad. Yeah. If you ever had grease like splash you on the arm, it's like, oh my God.
We now live in a time, right, where the instant you see a man with nipple rings, you think of Governor Andrew Cuomo, right?
Mm. Okay. Oh, right, because he had the weird shirt that showed his nipple rings.
The weird,
or whatever.
Yeah, bumps on
the. Yeah.
Okay. We're not, but now that you mention it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I never think of it actually, but you know, now that you brought it up, I'll probably think about it.
I'm trying to think about nipple rings. That's what I really tried to do. Been most of my days just trying not to think about them.
I made a note here where I wrote, this is a weird note to write. I wrote, people look weird when they act in water. And I'm just going to go ahead and expand on that.
Yeah.
Name me a film where people are underwater fighting or wrestling or dying or whatever it is.
Right.
It always is just off-putting. And I don't mean just because, well, they're going to drown. I just mean there's something weird about the way their faces are compressed, their eyes bulge a little bit. I don't like it. Acting underwater sucks. It's not cool.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. And it's odd because I've never personally had a conversation with my eyes underwater, but I've never really like scuba dived or anything like that. But I've never, matter of fact, in the only water we have around here, the size pool is like a lake water that you definitely would not want to open your eyes in.
No, you get the wormies in there. Also, by the way, given the pandemic, will any of us ever... I don't think I'm ever swimming in a public pool again. I think I'm done.
Oh, in a public pool?
Yeah, I think I'm done.
No, I think I will. I think I'll go to Water World, like one of the water parks. I don't think I'll...
I already had that rule before the pandemic.
Yeah, I kind of did too.
It's probably safer because it's like, oh yeah, we bleach the crap or chlorine the crap out of this water. And
right.
Here's what I want to know. I want to know how Disneyland is going to work. Are there going to be people on the ride who wipe down the safety bar before you get on the ride? Or are you going to carry around your own disinfecting wipes and wipe the whole area?
We're all going to be monk. We're all going to be monk. That's what this is going to do to us. Everybody's monk now, right?
I think once the vaccine, in a year and a half or whenever, when the vaccine comes out, I feel like we're going to get back to kind of what it was before all this.
Right.
But yeah, this fall and this winter, it is going to be, we're all going to be.
Life feels like a final destination right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, if there is a really good vaccine, that's going to cheat death.
Yeah.
Death is going to come for you.
Well, then you're all of us are on a new list. Good
point. Yeah. Well, I think right next to the ear stands, where you get your customized ears at Disneyland, Mickey Mouse ears, we're going to have a customized mask stand.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
I think I've seen it. Was it in Mexico or someplace I saw the other day that they had like these walk-through tunnels, like we're spraying disinfectant or something.
Oh, maybe
I could deal with that.
Will they also socially distance us by the chairs? Like if you're in the roller coaster, will you have to be every other for a while? Like, I wonder how that'll be.
Probably.
And what if the guy two seats ahead of you barfs and it flies backward and slathers all over you and your date? Then what? Then what do you do?
But you ran into that risk anyway. That's
you knew what you were getting into.
That's a pre-pandemic.
I know these are all. By the way, these are all hangups I had that I had well before any sort of pandemic.
Yes, exactly. Pre.
I hate it when older people tell younger people that they need to have kids so that they understand what it's like to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does acclimate you to other people's bodily fluids. It's a huge step in your maturity to spend some time around a baby. You're like, I can handle this.
No, I value that experience for that reason because I just feel like I. You know, and we had a rule around here. Kim could never do the puke, and I could never, and I didn't want to do the poop. So she did the poop, and I did the puke. So if there was a huge butt blowout, Kim was on call. If it was like someone's kid yacked in the back of the seat, that was my job, and that was just the way it went. And I don't know. I value that experience because you do that enough, and you just sort of, I don't know, you just accept people for who they are, and it's fine, but it's better when it's family, and it sucks when it's strangers two seats ahead of you on a roller coaster. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of weird realities. Yeah. And what reality does a mortician like work from a hobbit hole? Oh, dude. What was that?
Cheap, like the cheapest option, basically. Yeah. Like, all right, well, we've got five bodies we need to deal with. Give them to the hobbit hole guy.
Yeah, give it to the guy that built the hole in concrete.
Is he in all of them? Someone?
Yes. Okay. Yes, he's the through line. We just get his voice in one of them, but he is the devil through line through all the rooms.
Right.
All
right. Tony.
He's like the boatman on the River Styx, right? He knows the deal. And he can't tell you a deal. He'll sneak a little advice your way every once in a while.
Which is probably why he was able to get the bodies to burn in the furnace, basically. Well, I'm the devil. I pretty much have control over, you know, where the hearse brings it.
And by the way, if you want to see who's working in Hollywood, I just put in our Discord all the Tony things Jones that are in post
for Hollywood,
post or pre-production Tony Todd list. That dude's busy. Like, just new stuff. He's working constantly every year.
That's because he's great to look at. He's so interesting to look at and hear. He can just deliver the stupidest line. What do you say? I forget exactly what it was, but it was.
What if his entire career was like the Final Destination movies, and he only had to come work for 2 days everything?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like they bring him on set. Like, all right, so we got your whole character buttoned up in these two scenes, and you're gonna perform one of them later today, and the other one tomorrow, and we're done. We're done. He works 2 days every 3 months. Like, well, what if that's his?
It may be. He has now officially been in 230 acting gigs.
Wow.
That's a lot. But what's great is he started like right away. Platoon, the first year he starts acting, he's in Platoon. Nice. His third thing was a Simon and Simon episode. 21 Jump Street. Like, MacGyver. Like, a lot of TV stuff. Then Night of the Living Dead, Criminal Justice, like all this sort of stuff. All the Law and Orders had him, The Crow. Like, he was never in stuff that you'd never heard of all the way back then, but now almost everything he does is stuff you've never heard of. Like, Runes, The Change, The Pitchfork, Masters of the Universe. Oh, Masters of the Universe, that's coming.
Like, you've never heard of it. Like, Masters of what?
Ooh, oh. The new Hellblazers, the Hellblazers movie has him in it, I guess. The new Candyman, he's in. Oh, he is in the new Candyman, but it must be. He's got to be a.
And I guess he is just referenced in the movie called The Final Destination from 2009. He does not make an appearance, everybody from all of the movies is referenced in that one.
Oh, really?
Right. From the first three movies, it says that they're referenced.
That's the only one I haven't watched. I thought had, but that one is the only one I haven't watched. And I think they show clips from the other series, maybe
that might be the last one, because everybody in Final Destination 5, there are flashbacks that feature people from all four movies prior.
Maybe that's
he's my favorite guy in this movie, even though he's barely
absolutely
in it.
Even though he's just there for a second and he pulls people's nipples.
Well, I do look forward to when we get to Final Destination 5, because David Koechner, Courtney B. Vance, Miles Fisher all make appearances, like, are all people, characters or actors in that one.
Oh,
so,
all right.
That feels like it's going to be dessert when we get to David Koechner in a Final Destination movie.
And that's, I'm sorry, did you say that was the 2009 one?
That is, that one's the 2011 last one.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay, so that's where I'm confused. I thought the 2009 was the last one, but
no, the 2009 one is just called The Final Destination, because they decided to veer from Final Destination 4. That references everybody in the previous three movies. Right. Final Destination 5 features them all in flashbacks.
Oh, wow. All right.
Which I can't wait to see how they do it. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing, all right, how... That's kind of a fun spoiler to know that we see flashbacks. I want to know how that all fits together in the narrative.
Right. Stephen Quayle directed that. Let me just see what we know him from.
Todd is basically going to sit there with a slide projector and say, "So the first group of people that I killed.
Here I am with the first group of people taking a quick selfie.
Here's me at the airport, and here's me at the taking a chain off of a set of logs."
I kind of want to see 5 now that you've been talking about it in that way. Sort of into it.
Right. You're just going to have to wait until we see 3 and 4.
Scott. Yeah. Five's got pretty middling. Well, 6 out of... Or no, 5.8 on IMDb. It's not bad.
Right.
I want to repeat the most boring joke that's ever been made about a series of video games.
All right.
On this, I'm like, if there's a Final Destination 5, then the first 4 must not have really been final, were they?
Oh,
yeah. Thank you for that.
Final Fantasy.
I just wanted to mention, you guys had said a chick in the bucket earlier, but I thought Rory's box of shame and his mother was the chick in the bucket.
Oh, yeah.
That's where Rory got sliced in half. Yeah. He said, here's my wallet and keys. Please take my box of shame and hide it from my mommy.
Yeah, go get rid of all my porn.
Yeah. What's in the box? Yeah.
Get rid of my porn and drugs. Drug? Or no, he says, get rid of my drugs, my paraphernalia, and my porn. Like, you could have said my drugs and the paraphernalia would have been a given, dude.
Clear my search history.
Yeah, clear my
history. Oh, by the way, this was, 2003?
Three.
And I don't know how the cop was getting on the dark web, but every one of those links were not real links.
No,
they were like weird places with of death pictures.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I thought, actually, it was really keeping track of that stuff. And they also had some really bad, like, refresh on the screens then, I guess, in 2003. Ugh, looked real rough. That was a transition period, I think, a little bit for LCD displays. Anyway, Rocky Mountain High, never played except for in the elevator.
And in the dentist office.
Oh, the dentist office. I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah, when Tim is looking at the poor fish that's getting sucked. There's no PETA thing at the end saying no animals were harmed, because I think that was a real fish getting sucked by a real vent. Yeah.
That's funny.
Did that really? Yeah, I didn't think about that. I guess that was a real fish, probably, right?
Yeah, that's a big old finger to the PETA or whoever.
It's just a fish.
It's a finger to the PETA. That whole dentist thing was just, to me, was just nonstop fakery. There's just no way you would do that short of amount of time for the Novocaine. Nobody's going to draw you. Nobody looked. No, but first of all, nobody has a freaking mobile thing up in the wall or in the ceiling.
Right.
Kids don't care about that when they're getting their face drilled.
Look at, I suppose. But the thing that was bothering me is if I don't know about your dentist, but my dentist is very professional, and that's how I prefer my dentist. I don't like a dentist who's going to be, you know, constantly cursing and yelling and throwing stuff around. I'd be like, no, I'm not going there.
Yeah, I don't care how bad your pigeon problem is.
I'm not going that guy.
Bunk. Shit, the damn pigeons. I'm going to freaking blow my hole here. And I'm like, dude, you're a dentist. Calm down.
I love the exclamation, God damn it anyway. Because my Hungarian grandfather used to say that. It is thick. God damn it anyway, Brian. It was just like, why? What's the anyway about? Like, anyway.
That is really funny how you say it.
Anyone else think about how we're all old enough to remember when dentists suddenly decided to start dressing casually because it would put you more at ease?
Yeah, I think they swung around, though, because my dentist now is like full tie and shirt and pants.
My dentist didn't do that. All mine wear like the scrubs looking kind of thing. They're not quite scrubs or something like that.
Well,
dentist you go to.
I really appreciated that this dentist was dressed very casually, like I say, as a kid, I always remember them being dressed like doctors.
Yeah,
like the pediatrician and the dentist wore the same sort of stuff. And now, you know, at some point, dentists start showing up in like aloha shirts because it's like they all read the same. They all read the same issue of Dentistry Today and learned.
No, they went to a dentist convention because we know that's what dentists do. Every time we see them in portrayed movies, they're always going to some kind of dental convention. Yeah.
Mine's gone full like LL Bean catalog and like fake tan. That's my dentist right now. Hmm. He's super fake tanned. Oh my gosh, it's like I'm being hovered over by like a big orange piece of meat. Just like
or Hamilton DES.
It's really weird. George Hamilton's a good comparison because that's about the tone he's got.
Yeah.
And he didn't used to have that. Plus, he has really white veneers because, you know, he's a dentist, has to have perfect teeth, all that. Has these white veneers. So when he walks into the room, you just see orange and then bright white teeth. And it just is like it's a horror movie of its own, really.
I must go to a really different dentist. All my dentists are wearing like mask and stuff. This was before any of this other stuff happened.
Oh, they definitely wear masks. Like, yeah,
little jackets and stuff, all dressed up and come in professional looking.
Yeah, they still do the mask. I mean, mask gloves are compulsory. That's just what they do. Regardless. But when I grew up, my dentist.
I don't even know what my dentist's face looks like. I see him out in public.
You've never seen him before. I don't even know what he looks like. My dentist, Dr. Hacker, Packer, we called him Hacker because he hurt me every time I went in there. That was back in the day, and he was a real old dude. He was probably in his 70s when he was my dentist, and I was a kid. All my shitty dental work is because of him, by the way. But anyway, he would never wear a mask, never wore gloves, just hairy knuckle in your mouth and freaking spitting
hairy
on you and talking.
Hairy knuckle in your mouth.
Yeah. Hairy knuckle
What's my fingers taste like, Scott? Can you guess?
Sounds like some bad
thing. I had hot wings for lunch. Yeah.
Sounds like a bad story on like a Reddit erotica thread or something. A hairy knuckle in the mouth. Don't like it. Good. Hey, you guys. Keeps makes easy and affordable hair loss treatment for men. Look, none of us are getting any younger, okay? Losing our hair. That's how it goes. Losing hair sucks. 2 out of 3 guys will experience hair loss by the time they're 35. By the time they're 35! Luckily today, well, there's been advancements in science, okay? And Keeps offers proven treatments that can help treat the symptoms of hair loss and help you keep the hair you've already got, which is important. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments. You don't even need to go to the doctor's office. To get started, all you have to do is sign up on Keeps at the website there. Get online and get your medical attention and discreet drug delivery from the comfort of the privacy of your own home. Keeps offers their products at half the cost of your local pharmacy. You don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. So, to take action and prevent hair loss, get your first month of treatment for free by going to keeps.com/filmsack. That's K-E-E-P-S, keeps.com/filmsack for your first month of treatment for free. I got some clips. You guys want clips from the movie?
Give me the clips.
Okay, because I got some. Hold on here, and let's pull those up so they're handy. Okay, here we go. Here are some clips. Let's start with this one. This is a skeptical man is very skeptical.
Are you listening to yourself? I mean, this is crazy. You're saying that we should be on guard every morning when we leave the house?
He just was not buying it, that TV guy.
What kind of show is that?
Right? I agree.
Thanks for coming on my show. I'm going to berate you now.
Yeah.
I guess basic cable, like overnight, you know, anybody can be on kind of stuff.
Yeah. Also, getting horny girl. I knew she was going to die as soon as I heard this.
Can we go get the guys? I'm getting horny.
As soon as she said that, I went, you're not going to live. I thought she'd live longer than she did, but.
Yeah.
Let you know that no women were involved in the making of this film. you know, because like, as soon as you hear that, you're like, oh, we're going to get a booby flash pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Booby flash.
By the way, that highway. I've never had that much interaction with anybody on the highway, but everybody on that highway was like, how you doing? How's it going?
Exactly,
yes. Doing good? Good. How's
We're all going almost exactly the same speed, right. So you can look at my kid smashing a couple of cars together and this football team. Yeah. Oh, so much foreshadowing.
When I'm on a highway, I'm going to ride it all day long. Remember that song?
I'm going to ride it all.
No, all night long.
All night long, yes.
Yeah, not day. All right, here's
that life is a highway.
Here's that grumpy biker guy.
I just think it's a bunch of bullshit.
All right. Okay. Mm. Mm-hmm. Weird dude laugh. That's him too. He was
that's so good. Hold on, can you play it again? Yeah. Like let me just like say something here, funny and then you play that?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Oh, I just stubbed my toe.
All right.
That's I love that. God, that's the best. That's the best chuckle ever.
That's a pretty good one. Here's I hate this message so much, so I'll just play it.
Hey, Evan, it's Tawny. Sorry, I haven't called. Hey, listen, I heard about your lottery win. Let's hook up. Call me.
I hate everything about that.
Women involved in the making of this film whatsoever.
They gave him lines to read, but they did not help write anything. So there's
God for dating apps.
Isn't that a great classic gag, though?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about great. Classic, maybe. Great, eh. I don't know.
I love it that some guy would win money and everybody's coming out of the woodwork.
I mean, it does. I think that probably happens in real life. And maybe that's also why it annoyed me, because I hate that. But yeah, Tawny can bite me is what I'm saying, really.
Hey, it's Tawny.
Tawny, I heard you won your money. Let's hook up.
That all seems so odd in the future as we go forward. 2003 was kind of late to have an answer machine, right? Anything?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Anything? How much further can we go with answering machines?
Well, you need to win the lottery back then to not own one, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Here's
that sweet iMac.
Yeah, this is right. By the way, I found some old audio of Ibbot's mom. This is so I didn't know this about prom. You used to, I mean, we have a lot of info about your proms and stuff, but I didn't know that she used to vet every girl before you could go. Okay.
Oh yeah, she was rigorous about
that.
Yeah,
so clearly as rigorous as can be, and here's an example of that. So Ibbot's mom being very rigorous about vetting the girl he's about to go on a date with. Here you go.
You'll relinquish any sharp objects, such as nail files, pencils, pens, safety pins, bobby pins, your necklace, matches, lighters, belts, belt buckles, earrings, hair clips, glasses, shoelaces, paper clips, watches, money clip, pocket knives, food, drinks, keys, cell phone. Do you have a cell phone on you? Poisons, pills, medications. Great. And let me see your nails.
and then you could go.
Why don't you just say get naked if you want to go in here? Let's just get down to it.
Well,
here's a morph suit. Put this on. Yeah.
But see, if death's going to get you, death's going to get you. You go in there naked.
Yeah.
The door slams on your hair. You scream. A little poop comes out. You slip on the poop. You fall over. You kick her. You kick the other girl in the vagina so hard it puts her into shock. Everyone's dead. Like that. It just, you can still do it. Death just has to get creative. It doesn't matter if you're naked or not. All right. Here's
so does death not work at like a microscopic level? I mean,
yes. We discussed this last time. I'm realizing now that putting 2 months between these two episodes was a little too much. we're hitting all the same stuff, guys.
I was worried about that. I was watching it going, oh, we're going to talk about a lot of the same issues, but it's all right. I still enjoyed it that much. All right.
But I love that the list included earrings and didn't include nipple rings or tongue rings or nose ring.
Or rings of any sort or color. Mm. All right. Here's a something about pigeons.
Did you see that?
See what?
Pigeons.
Like, no, dude, you're having
pigeons.
Pigeons, you know. Pigeons. Yeah,
pigeons. Pigeons all the time. There's no D in that. It's pigeons.
We all had a dentist like this guy, right?
How many times am I going to have to replace those goddamn windows?
Yeah, that guy. Was just...
Yeah, that guy. I'm telling you. Mm. I'd be out. Yeah. Ma, we're going to a different dentist. Yeah,
this one
just
sucks.
Put butterfly stickers on them like my Aunt Deborah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what? Wait.
Aunt Deborah.
Your Aunt Deborah? You had
Aunt Deborah.
Oh, in the movie.
I still have an Aunt Deborah. Yeah, you know, you just put butterfly stickers on the windows, and that way the birds see them. Oh. Well, in this case, they're the sliding glass door that I ran into when I was coming in from the pool, but you put butterfly stickers on them.
Got it.
It's amazing how much momentum I have had every time I've walked through a door.
Oh, yeah, like, lots.
I just can't get over how, like, I, you know, at just normal speed walking forward, and going through a screen door is what it's always been. And I mean, just right through it. You just punch right through it.
If pot's ever legal here in my state, that's the kind of conversations I want to have is about things like, man, can you believe how fast you walk through doors? Whoa. That's what I want to do.
I have been accused of being perpetually stoned when I speak. And I'm telling you, it doesn't really change you.
No, not really. Yeah. It just makes you feel good. All right. Here's a great cry that I captured. This is like a repeated cry. All right. Something about brains.
Come to pick my brain.
Oh, yeah. We came to pick your brain, Tony Todd. Mm-hmm. Give us your brain. Let us pick it. Here's, this is when my wife asked me how I get to the post office or how she should get to the post office. This is what I reply with.
You have to follow the signs, Kimberly.
I literally, that's her name is Kimberly. So,
Kimberly.
Yeah, Kimberly, follow the signs. Kimberly. If you follow the signs, you'll find the post office.
Did you call me? Candyman.
Here's something Brian Dunaway used to say a lot when he was younger. He's mature now, though, but this is what he used to say.
I'm thinking, suck on my junk, biatch.
Yeah, That was the thing.
I did say that a lot.
Suck on my junk. Yeah. Suck. It sounds like he's a suck on my junk.
I'm thinking suck on my junk.
Suck on my junk.
Suck on my junk.
All right.
Whatever, man. Chillax.
Just thinking it.
Yeah, of course. He's always thinking it. I would like to ask, where else would you taste it?
I can practically taste the water in my mouth.
Just so you can practically taste the water.
I can practically taste the water. Where at? In my mouth.
In my mouth. As opposed to where? Your armpit where you have taste buds? Stop it. irritated me. All right. Here's a great quote.
I think it's just all bullshit.
There he is again. Doing it again. Who do you see?
Man with hooks. I think I see a man with hooks.
Okay, so you see a man with hooks then.
Hey man, are you saying it's a man with hooks?
Yeah. I thought that was going to be the Tony Todd moment. They were making some reference to Candyman with his hook, but I was wrong. It was just pervert man with a box full of
things. Like, I don't know why, but the little shot of him smelling her hair really freaked me out.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Poor man's Peter Boyle?
I guess it is just never
like Peter Boyle. Like there's a rich man's Peter Boyle. Right. Like,
hey, whatever. Peter Boyle was great. I love that guy.
He was great. Oh, he was, but
he's rich man's Peter Boyle.
You wouldn't need a lot of money to afford a Peter Boyle.
Yeah. No, he's Ritz. He's Ritz man Peter Boyle. Get the reference? Yeah. Do you get it?
Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah. Well done. All right.
There you go. Man and Ritz.
It's the first time in my life I've ever thought that, you know, poor man's Doc Brown could be behind me in the elevator and smell my hair.
Yep.
Like, it's just never, that has never occurred to me. And I realize there's probably, you know, women out there like, what? This happens all the time. Well, it's just, it's never occurred to me and it's freaking me out that could happen.
I always hate those moments where you talk to female friends of yours or acquaintances or whatever and you're like, does this sort of thing ever happen? They're like, oh, dude, the guy on the bus had his wiener out and was like rubbing it all over my leg. And like, it's horrifying. And I hear this stuff and go,
yeah,
this is
foreign
to me. I
never encounter other wieners unless I'm at the gym.
Yeah, only time. And usually those are like, you know, that guy's 75 and he's dragging it on the floor, like whatever he's doing. But you never see exposed wiener in public. But
no, not as a man.
Go ask female friends of yours and they'll say, right. Oh, yeah, the fourth time was this time I was at the mall and this happened. And it freaks me out. I don't like that secret world.
Man, if I'd be the same way. If somebody popped out any part that was supposed to be covered, said hi.
Yeah.
No. Put that away.
Yeah, cover that up.
Like even that lady even the biker lady who's in the back of the bike and she's like flashing the marijuana kid.
Oh, we forgot to talk about her. Yeah, she's a chicken the bucket a little bit. They didn't. Did they die in the? I guess they didn't die. They got out in front of it.
I don't know. If you ever got hit in the face with a bug, I can't imagine that'd be good on a boob.
Nope.
That would really hurt.
Nope. Mm. Just big old, like a big old katydid or something. Just smack. Yeah.
Right there. Right in the nipple.
Well, hers were made out of like plastic, so that's fine.
Oh, okay. So she had like an airbag built in, I guess.
She had built in airbags, yeah.
Right.
Here's a great old man scream. This is the pervert in the elevator yelling after the head gets chopped off. So he goes like this.
Whatever, man. You're carrying around a bunch of disembodied arms and you're worried about a head. Or was that the other guy? No, that was the other guy.
That was the other guy.
Well, that wasn't
that was poor man Peter Boyle screaming. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't the black dude. He was just in shock. All right, here's the chief from BSG.
No, not here. No, you can't do this to me.
Okay, don't do that again.
Not now.
Nah, don't ever read this line that way again. All right, and then, this is a good quote.
And if I die, would you throw out all my drugs and my paraphernalia and my porno?
Porno. I love it when they say porno.
I do too. Because it's
porno
just,
is such a funnier word than porn.
I agree, and no one says it. So when they do say it, you're like, dude, no one says that anymore. But yet somehow you said it. It's great. Hardcore porno.
Porno.
Pornographer. All right. That's it for your clips.
It sounds like a stenographer, but he's like taking notes on the porn.
Yep.
And then he touched him gently.
All right. Now this. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Never drive a Suburban because they are all leaking transmission fluid all the time.
Transmissive
fluid, you know, the stuff. Tell my mom my drugs are in my pants, my paraphernalia is in my shirt pocket, and my porno is in my severed hand. Check. And finally, only
because he was in pieces.
Yeah, he was in pieces. See, you get the joke. Only give the kids 6 seconds of Novocaine time. Check. All right. Star Trek Connection. We have Tony Todd. He played Mr. Bloodworth in DS9 and TNG. He played Worf's brother Kern in TNG. In DS9, he played old Jake Sisko in the episode The Visitor, which is a very good episode, by the way. We've talked about this before. He was also in the video game Star Trek Elite Force 2, where he played the voice of Corbin. He was also considered for the role of Benjamin Sisko, but it didn't happen, which is kind of a bummer. Also, in this movie, we have an actor named James Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great Star Trek connection, yep. Right there.
I love how Daryl wrote this. He goes, James Kirk played Tim Carpenter. The actor's name is James Kirk.
Look at it. Look at it.
Look at it for what funny. It is. It is funny,
like,
I swear.
It's like a Star Trek reference.
Yeah. Also, there's Alf Humphreys. Remember that show?
Alf Humphreys?
Yes.
Nice. He'll be pulled that one out of the sky. That was very good. All right. Soundtrack grade, to give it an F for fine. It did whatever it had to do. It's fine. Sound work was really good.
Because you're on the highway to hell, man.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Final Destination 2. Let's go. The girls are so horny. Oh, my God. I can't believe you just said that in front of my dad. Anyway, off to the orgy. Bye, Dad.
Bye, Dad.
Just like on Saturday Night at Evertown.
Oh, I see. Hey, hold on. Were they going to... It was college, right? Did I have that right?
Yes.
They were going to Daytona Beach.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they were not going... I thought like it was just like... Thing. It was a spring break thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That makes sense. Either way, they all died. Mm-hmm. Well, most of them. Okay. Moving on. Who's next? Dunaway.
It's me. Final Destination 2. If you create life that was never meant to be alive, you cheat death. And then death, he rage quits to re-roll his list. Dude, death. Chillax.
Re-rolls. I like the idea of death had to re-roll.
He had to re-roll.
Respect. Finally,
the rage quitting is what I can't imagine
death
doing.
I like that too.
No, it's not okay, all right. I'll just wait till the next one of these movies.
Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Final Destination 2, a film that centers around a scary few minutes of action. No, a truly terrifying few minutes of visuals and sound. But besides that horrifying couple minutes of a dental exam, some people die. God damn it anyway.
We never talked about the kid who got mushed by the big heavy glass thing. That was a pretty
good. Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
Yes, the nitrous softened his bones.
Yeah,
that's like the one visual thing that's rough to watch is when somebody, that's on the level of face melting to me, when somebody gets so squashed, they just get literally
just pulverized.
They just get squirted
out. Quick, go around the room and tell me the thing that was hardest to watch for you, because for me it was the people burning in the fire,
in the car.
That was pretty rough. That guy yelling. That was really... Well, that was the Oscar winner. Sorry, that is the furthest thing from this movie. Sorry.
Right, what are you watching?
The guy that won the lottery. That was him screaming,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that was him. He couldn't get his seatbelt off, and he was screaming.
Yeah.
So if you don't like burning to death in a car, you definitely don't want to get burnt with grease.
Yeah,
moron.
I mean, outside of watching a guy licking his fingers and trying to help somebody get food off his face, that was pretty gnarly. Who does that? Nobody does that with a stranger in an elevator. You got something on your face. Here, I'll help you. Blah, blah, blah. And then
I'm telling you, it's the elevator to hell. Every one of these people, none of them were going to heaven, or if that's the kind of thing you want to talk about, because death was just the only place these people were going.
Everybody in that elevator was gross. Everybody, except the mom. Yeah. The mom was all right, but everybody else was gross.
And you killed her by calling her on the cell phone.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
She's the only death in the elevator, actually. Right.
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 Well, her head.
Well, right? My soul died.
Right. Well, that ain't coming back. All right. Moving on. Where the hell were we here? Oh, I know. This. It's just handed to me. Alternative titles. It was almost called Final Destination Also or Final Destination As Well. I think that's a good pick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just about happened.
Look who else is final destinationing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Final Destination 2, tying up loose ends.
Yep.
Look who's final destinationing 2. Yeah.
I like it.
I'm looking forward to Final Destination in space.
Yes. All these are better in space. Dude, I would love one of those in space where like all the space shit goes wrong in space. That's a great
idea. How
about
a roller coaster? How does that strike you?
That's fine if that's all they do. Like, okay,
amusement,
put it
like
in
a completely send amusement park?
Yes.
Part
these
3.
These are great ideas. Oh, is it really in part three? Is that true?
Check out part three.
Wow.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Coney Island.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So we're saying less than 2 months for the next one then, based on Randy's complaints.
Yeah.
6 weeks?
Six weeks.
Sounds about right. Yeah, we'll see you guys then.
Yeah, we'll see you then. Here's an email from Bruce W. You got this. We got this from the website. Just went over there to filmsack.com and sent it. Iron Eagle is not a ripoff of Top Gun, he says, with all the exclamation points.
It's not.
You can't say two films are not the same because they involve planes and then say they're the same. Iron Eagle is a masterpiece and the best jet fighter ever made, the F-16, and it has an awesome soundtrack. Please sack it. Please.
He's not wrong because they're not. It is not Top Gun in any way other than the marketing material for it because it was kind of riding that
and
wave.
And that's totally what I'm basing that on is just the fact that it was a...
And it was also lower budget, and they didn't use actual military shots of actual planes flying around. They used a bunch of fake green screen shit, and it's just low rent. It's not good, Bruce.
But it's still fun.
It's not good, Bruce. Well,
but it's absolutely fun, and I would love to sack the first Iron Eagle with you guys. I would not like to sack more than one Iron Eagle with you guys. Whereas. If we ever get this Maverick movie, guys, if we ever, I don't know, it might be vaporware, but if we ever get it, I kind of want to sack it immediately.
I'll bet we either get it when they do the semi-opening of theaters again, or that one will end up being some deal with some, it'll be a first weekend, $40
stream kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually say our first watching of it, if it goes pay to stream, we each just buckle down the $20 and watch it together, maybe even live.
Yeah, I'd do that. That'd be worth it. SR also wrote in and said this: when I bought this hat, I knew it looked familiar, and then you folks sacked Bandits. When I saw Bruce Willis wearing it in the interview, I knew I remember you from. Not identical, but close enough to put a smile on my face. Enjoy everything you guys do, and been finding myself re-listening to episodes just because it's more entertaining than most other things I do. Out there, not I do. I shouldn't have said that. Thank you, and all of you take care. Keep trucking along and putting out great content for people to enjoy because we all appreciate it. Well, thank you very much, SR. That is awesome. Also, he's talking about that Bruce Willis bandana he had in the interview part of the movie.
Yeah.
He has one that looks just like it. Anyway, thanks, SR. That was very nice of you to say. Actually, we've gotten a lot of email like this lately where people really have been relying
about
on
hats?
The show. No. They've been really enjoying the show as a distraction right now. So we're glad to hear that. It works that way for us too, and we'll keep making it if you keep listening to it. Our next film, finally, this is happening. The Beastmaster. Oh my lord. Ooh, be still my beating heart. Oh, I'm so excited about this, you guys. Like this is a staple of my childhood. I watched this over and over and over in junior high. I couldn't get enough of the Beastmaster. It features a briefly naked replacement Charlie's Angel, redhead.
Tanya Roberts?
Roberts, I think. I think you're right. Don't remember her name. But I remember thinking this was just the greatest fantasy thing ever made, and it's not. And I can't wait to watch it. Oh, my gosh, we got to watch it.
But it is for 1982?
82? Yeah, sounds right.
82.
That would have been junior high. Can you guys, where is it streaming so we can let people know? I forgot where we're watching this.
We're watching this on Amazon Prime.
Prime. Okay. So this is on Prime, not Netflix, not Hulu. Prime. Amazon Prime. You might have heard of it. That's where this is. Go check it out. The Beastmaster. That's next week right here.
Did
on
you ever go back and watch the TV series? Remember how the fantasy kind of thing took off there for a while?
No.
TV?
It was like around the Xena era.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I didn't see the show, though. I never watched it, but I remember it was
me neither.
And it's weird.
I've never seen
any
form of Beast Mastery.
Oh my
except
gosh.
I and that's it.
You're going to love this, dude. Or hate it. You may hate it.
I really can't wait. No, I think I'm going to love it. I can't wait.
All right. Well, I can't wait either. That's next week here on FilmSack. FilmSack.com for details. Don't forget FilmSackStats.com as well if you're looking for some cool trivia and junk about the numbers of what we've watched these 10 years. So go check that out. FilmSack at gmail.com is our email address. You can find us on Twitter at FilmSack. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I'm so horny.
Well, I'll see you next time. Ew. I don't like that.
Even worse when Randy says it.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
No, not here. No, you can't do this to me. Ugh.